third week in Advent, and this week we are celebrating the joy of a newborn babe. Any of you who have had children, the anticipation, the excitement, the desire, and the hopes and the dreams. I myself haven't had any children, but I can only imagine. I know that the hopes and the dreams that Mary and Joseph would have had to be filled with joy of expectancy. And as we looked at the first 2 weeks, the first week we looked at the hope and the confident expectation of what the Messiah would bring into the world. Last week we had the children's Christmas program, and that was rooted in love. And what a better thing to look at the children and the love that Jesus brought into this world. This week it's joy. And ultimately, in a few moments, we're going to find out the source of joy, and that joy comes from God and only God. And so my challenge to all of us as we move through this time of Advent season, Advent means, if you'll remember with me, the anticipation of the arrival of Jesus, the King, the Messiah, the one who will liberate all people. And that, my friends, should bring us joy. Before we get into our message, I'm going to have Nikki and Kelsey come forward. And, you know, we're talking about joy of a newborn babe. And there's a couple things that we want to just bring to everyone's attention, and then we will get into our message here in a few moments. That's going to scoot over here and turn right around.
Well, some of you probably heard that Claire's dad passed away this week, and probably all of you heard about the unfortunate shooting at Sandy Hook Elementary School. So this week, our little by little lesson is going to be about sharing God's love and blessing others.
What we're going to do for that is we're all going to have the kids write little notes of blessing, and then we're going to tape it all together, and they can decorate it however they want. And we're going to extend it to the congregation, and we're going to have all of the supplies set up on tables out there in the fellowship hall. So if after service you guys want to add to it, then you're more than welcome, and we'd appreciate it.
Thank you. So if you would like to sign the card, Claire is, for those of you who might be visiting, Fritz's wife, and her father passed away. And this past week I had the opportunity to just speak with Tony Brubaker. She's the director at Heartbeat. And I'm going to draw your attention to the inside bottom right corner of your bulletin. We list prayer concerns somewhere in your bulletin in this box each week. And this week, I'm going to ask, we're talking about the joy of a newborn babe, the Christ baby. And little by little is dismissed, I forgot, kindergarten through sixth grade. Go with Nikki and Kelsey and Joanna. We have a special lesson designed and prepared especially for you. But the joy of the Christ child that would break into this world. And I shared and I listened and I heard from Tony this past Wednesday before the school shootings. Before the shooting in Alabama, before hearing that Claire's father had passed away, you know, we live in a world that just snuffs out our joy. It snuffs out our joy, and there's so many different things in life that seeks to take that joy. But one thing that we can do is we can uplift these individuals. And so I asked Tony if it would be okay and acceptable with her that I would just bring this up, because the vital life-giving ministry, I just wonder what would have happened if many babies would have been aborted. And yes, Herod was trying to abort, kill the children when Jesus was born. And so the vital ministry that Tony is engaged in, it's almost as if she's out there. And I really feel that we as a church, we owe it to her, we owe it to Heartbeat, and we owe it to the Lord. We owe it to the non-believers to cover that ministry in prayer, to cover the Connecticut shooting victims in prayer, to cover all of these concerns, and there's many more. And so just before we even get into our lesson, my challenge to all of us is to tap into God's joy. Even when we're so helpless and we feel so inadequate to even do anything, to tap into God's joy through the mode of prayer. And that mode, friends, can unlock, it can release the supernatural power of God, the heavenly Lord, that was ushered into this world through the Christ child. And that, my friends, will release joy deep within your heart. So please, pray for those three things, for Claire and her family, for Tony and Heartbeat of Fremont, and for the shootings around this country and those other concerns there as well. This morning we are continuing our series here titled The Expectant Heart. And my challenge and my question to all of us is, every year when we come through the Christmas season, is what do we expect? What do we expect to receive from the living Lord? And that is a question that has to be answered. It's a question that must be answered. This morning we're going to look at a group of men, a group of people, the shepherds. And we're going to look at Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 18. If you have your Bibles, please turn there with me now. And if you're utilizing the Pew Bibles, you'll find that on page 1591. We're told in this text that the shepherds were in that region. Now Mary and Joseph were in Bethlehem. And that region of Bethlehem would have been some 6 miles south of Jerusalem. We don't know, but it's possible that these shepherds were tending flocks of sheep to be utilized as sacrifices in the temple. And so they were kind of in this limbo. They were kind of in this land of just being out there and not being connected, not being, you know, engaged with the rest of the world. Shepherds, just to give you a hint into what their life was like, they were viewed as at the bottom of the social ladder. These individuals were uneducated, they were unskilled, and they were increasingly viewed as dishonest, meaning they would raise up sheep and they would say, "This one's mine, not yours." They were unreliable and unsavory individuals. Some have even said that shepherds of Jesus' day were a despised class of people, the lowest of the low. They were despised because they were ceremonially unclean, meaning they could not ever be accepted in the temple, because caring for sheep took work 7 days a week. And then they could never go through the ceremony to become clean, to be acceptable to the Lord, to be acceptable on, quote-unquote, man's terms to the Messiah, to God. And yet we have here in the Christmas story the birth of Jesus and the first announcement of the Messiah being born, the Christ child coming into the world, is being announced to the despised, the lowest of the low, the unclean, those individuals who could never be, quote-unquote, accepted by man's terms. There's a message right there for all of us. And the message should go something like this. It should say that, hey, I don't have to be of a certain social class. I don't have to be of a certain status. I don't have to be doing certain things. It's come as you are. You don't have to go places. You don't have to say certain things. The Christ child ushered in to bring the message of grace, the message of salvation, to the weak, the poor, the marginalized, the outcast of society. And Jesus validated this in Luke 4. Years after he was born, he's in the temple of Jerusalem, and he gets up and he reads from the scroll. And the scroll is opened up to Isaiah 61, and he reads, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord." And he closed the book, gave it back to the attendant, and Jesus sat down. And the eyes of all in the synagogue were fixed on him. And then he said to them, "Today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." You see, the ministry of Christ, the ministry of God, would be about the marginalized, the poor, the outcast, the lowest of the low. And yes, we could see all through Jesus' life, he did attract those very individuals. And so if you're sitting here thinking, "Well, I'm not good enough, I'm not worthy enough, I haven't done these certain things," we need to just remove all that thought. Because that's the first thing that we need to understand, is the joy of God, it moves our heart. But let's read the text, beginning in verse 8 of chapter 2 in the Gospel of Luke. "And in that region there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with fear. And the angel said to them, 'Be not afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of a great joy, which will come to all people. For to you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloths, and lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom he is well pleased." When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying which had been told them concerning this child, and all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. Thinking about the shepherds and them receiving the announcement, and them understanding that being despised, being viewed, looked down upon, being the lowest of the low, I can only imagine the type of joy that would have welled up deep within their heart, deep within their soul, deep within their being, the joy that was unlocked and unreleased that they never knew before. Because their entire life, they never were good enough. They were on the outs. They were held at arm's length. And yet here is the living God, the living Lord, revealing to them the anticipation of what they had waited year in, year out for. It's coming to fruition. And it's here. And it's the Christ child, the Messiah. The notion that the Messiah was all for all people and not some special class had to resonate deep within their being. This notion had to be just saturating their very essence of who they were. But friends, I want us to know three things and notice three things about the joy of the Lord. First, we need to understand what joy is. And joy can be described as something that causes joy. But biblical joy is not something that is dependent upon a circumstance or dependent upon, you know, a situation. Biblical joy is defined as a calm delight, a gladness, a happiness, or the object, meaning God, who provides and produces this joy. You see, Psalm 16, verse 11, we are told, "Thou dost show me the path of life. In your presence, O Lord, there is fullness of joy. In your right hand are pleasures forevermore." And so we can see that the shepherds, they were in the presence of God. There's no doubt that they were devout men, that they were God-fearing men. Otherwise, they would not have responded and fearfully trembled at the glory of God. You might say that's a bizarre response, but throughout all of Scripture, we can see that's a natural response when God's glory is shown. We can look at the book of Isaiah, chapter 6, where the glory of the Lord is revealed to him. And Isaiah the prophet says, "Woe is to me, for I am ruined, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." And if you remember with me, Peter, after the great miraculous catch of fish, and Peter gets out of the boat, and the first thing is falls down and trembles in fear at the feet of Jesus, and he says, "Go away from me, Lord, for I'm a sinful man, O God." See, this is perfectly natural. The fear that they experienced, the terror, the thing that they were frightened of, because God is a holy God. God is a living Lord. But I also want us to know the progression. That fear doesn't stay fear. That fear moves to joy. You see, we're told, "And the angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them." So you can imagine the glory of the Lord. We're told that in heaven there will be no light, because God himself is light. And so just the supernatural, miraculous light of God shining around them in the dark of night. And they were filled with fear. And the angel said to them, "Be not afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of a great joy." So we see fear moving to joy. We see the fear moving to joy only when one thing happens. And it's when the viewpoint is changed. You see, all of us, every single time we are individuals and we come face to face with the living God, as Peter and as Isaiah, as the Apostle John did, they fell down with great fear because they were focused on their own sinfulness. And the angel of the Lord says to the shepherds, he says, "Be not afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of a great joy." And the angel was really saying to the shepherd, look at what God is doing. Look at what God has done. And so friends, when our perspective is changed, when our perspective moves from focusing in on our own self-unworthiness and our own failures and faults and flaws, and we move and we see exactly what God is doing and what he wants to do in this world, I'm here to tell you that there will be a joy that will well up deep within your soul that is unexplainable. You cannot describe it. And even in the face of the midst of anything, there will still be that small, calm delight, that small assurance, that joy of God that will say, it will be okay. Because God is still sovereign. God is still the ruler of the universe. God is still God. So the shepherds, they had to react. And they had to change their perspective from a perspective of self, which once consumed their heart. And their heart had to have a different perspective. And the new perspective had to be captured by the work of God. This then allowed their hearts to be filled with great joy. It's true for you and I. It's true that our perspective needs to be changed. Sometimes we view our circumstances and our situation, and when we view it, when we don't allow God into those circumstances or situations, then we don't allow God's joy to enter in, and we're holding him out. You see, the shepherds could have said, nope, 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 I don't want to hear of your great joy. I like my fear. I like viewing things through my lens, and God has something better for all of us, friends. And that something better is the joy that comes from him and him alone. You see, it's been said by Andrew Murray that joy is not a luxury or a mere accessory in the Christian life. It is the sign that we are really living in God's wonderful love, and that love satisfies us. Did you hear that? Andrew Murray says this. He says, joy is not a luxury or a mere accessory in the Christian life. The joy of God is merely the sign that we are really living in God's wonderful love, and that God's love truly does satisfy us. You see, this isn't something that, oh, that's just okay for him. That's just okay for that person. No, the source of joy is in God and God alone. Pierre Chardin said that joy is the sheer evidence of God. And so in our lives, as we walk in relationship with Christ and in anticipation with the Christ child breaking into this world, my question for me, and first off for me, and then it moves forward out to everyone else, is that if I don't have joy, and I don't mean that we have to be bouncing all over the place with, you know, unfettered, you know, exuberance. What I mean is that is there that small calm delight deep within your soul? And if there is, then it's the sheer evidence of God's work and God's presence in your life. There are requirements for fear giving way to joy. First, we must embrace God's revelation. Jesus, we must embrace it and not embrace our wants. We must relinquish our own viewpoint and accept God's viewpoint. The viewpoint of unworthiness, the viewpoint of not measuring up, the viewpoint of being a sinner, the viewpoint of not ever being accepted. Yes, the shepherds had to relinquish that. We must accept God's will and God's desires. Sometimes his desires conflict with ours. And we need to say, I want my heart to be moved by God's joy. And so, Lord, I want your desires, not mine. And lastly, we must adhere to God's plan. And yes, friends, God's plan will always be better than our plan. I wonder what blessings would have been lost if the shepherds would have said, nope, nope, we're unworthy. We can't go. I'm so thankful they went. I'm so thankful that they didn't get stuck in fear, and yet many times in our lives we do get stuck in fear mode. We've embraced the fear rather than the Savior. Have we accepted God's will or rejected it? I hope we have accepted it. And have we adhered to God's plan while relinquishing our own viewpoint? Accepting the joy from the Lord, we then begin to see from the perspective of God. And this new perspective then enlarges our belief or faith in the eternal God. And this is exactly what happened with the shepherds in verse 11 and 12. And I'm going to close with this. I had 3 points, but time is escaping. The joy of the Lord magnifies belief. Verse 11, for to you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger. You see, when we allow God's joy to flood our soul, to flood our heart, and our hearts are moved so that we embrace God's desires, we embrace God's viewpoint, we're going to see people not as we would see them. We're going to see people as God sees them. We're going to suddenly be encapsulated by His love, and we're going to be just filled with His grace and mercy. And when we do that, we're going to have our faith and our belief will be magnified or grown by the joy in the Lord. And hear this. Now listen to the angel of the Lord talking to the shepherds. For to you, you despised class, you unworthy individual, is born this day in the city of David. No. The angel said, for to you, you worthy, you are the one that for you, God sent Jesus, and Jesus is born. It's the personal nature of God's Messiah and His personal plan of salvation. You see, we could all put our own individual's names in there. For to you, put your name there, is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. You see, this personal nature, this wasn't by accident. This wasn't something that just took place. This wasn't something that just happened. This was an intentional act of love and grace and mercy by God when He broke into the world and He gave us the joy in the Christ child. The specific sign given to the shepherds. This will be a sign for you. You know, I don't know what anybody's facing here. I don't know the fearful thoughts of whatever is going on in people's lives, but I do know this, is God deals in specifics. God doesn't deal in generalities. God deals in the specifics, and He is not going to leave any step that will not be known for you or I to follow Him. The specifics, if you're facing something, I would challenge all of us to pray for the specifics that God would seek to reveal to you, the specific things that He wants that are in His will. The shepherds got a specific sign, and nothing is to left to guess or to uncertainty. But notice in verse 10, the totality or the completeness of God's work. A great joy which will come to all the people. You see, the shepherds probably ascribed to the traditional Israelite thought of a Messiah. And that Messiah would have liberated Israel from the oppressive Roman rule. And it would be confined to that time, to that era, to the earth. And yet God had a totality or a completeness of His work of what He wanted to do. And it was this great joy which will come to all people. It will come to you. It will come to me. It will come to all those who have lived and all those who have yet to be born. See what happens? When we open up our heart, we give up our fear, we accept God's joy, we suddenly begin to find our faith is grown. We suddenly begin to find that our belief is being magnified through the joy of the Lord. Because God has something far greater than what we could ever comprehend. And that something greater is something that we all need each day, especially in light of these constant tragedies that we hear on the news, that we're faced with, sometimes in our own individual lives. We don't understand. And yet I'm here to tell you, you move from fear, you allow God, you accept Him, and you will receive the joy. Fear goes to joy. When we get out of ourselves and we accept and embrace the living Lord, the God of the universe, the eternal I am, and then our belief and our faith is grown. If we're stuck in fear, our faith is never grown. If we're stuck in fear, then we never receive joy. And then the last point, I'm just going to give it to you, is that joy motivates to action. Joy will always motivate you and I to action. It's been said that, you know, this was the first Christmas rush. You know, sometimes we're going out shopping and we're doing these things and we're thinking, my goodness, where's the meaning of this? But I'm here to tell you there is a time and there is a place where you must go in haste, just as the shepherds did. And they went in haste and they found Mary and Joseph. You see, when God's joy takes over your very being, you can't contain it. You can't press it down. It bubbles over out of your soul because it's God's love. And it's the action of being who God wants you to be. See, joy is the winsome magnet that draws people in because it is the one thing that they do not have. See, this world doesn't have joy. You might be sitting there saying, yeah, but how often does that happen? I've got a cousin that came to Christ when he was in the Navy because every single Saturday night he'd be passing the people going to church and he'd be going home. And I said, what did you talk to them for? Well, they were just always so happy. They were always so joyful and I wanted what they had. So friends, my hope for you, my hope for me, is that we will allow joy to move our hearts. We will allow joy to magnify and grow our faith. And we will allow joy to motivate us to action. Then we truly will be the winsome magnet that draws people in because they don't have it. Let us experience the joy of the Lord, for He is the true source. Let us reflect His joy, rooted and founded in His love. And may we be obedient as He so leads.